We open up God's word this morning, reading from the book of Luke, chapter 7. That's Luke 7. This tells how Jesus showed compassion and gave help to a lady who'd been twice bereaved. That's Luke chapter 7, verse 11. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached those about to be baptized, that you will be very close to them, that they will feel your presence, and that you will protect them and guide them in the years to come. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you. Welcome those watching online. And I know the last few weeks we've got some technical challenges. So that's something to pray for, because when you get a technical challenge when it comes to the internet and all the systems, it's very hard to locate where the actual problem is. So pray for the team who are trying to work that out over these last few weeks. But also thanks the team. Thank you, all those who work so hard on that. Can we just show appreciation to Ben and John and Mike, who's out the back there, and the others who serve on the team. We appreciate that so much. This series is called Restored, Discovering the Heart of Jesus. In these encounters that we're looking at, Jesus is trying to show his disciples what his kingdom is all about. You know, what it looks like for hope to come in a world that is full of suffering and pain. He wants his followers to both discover what it is to be restored themselves, but also to help restore others. And that's what we need to know in life, isn't it? You know, how to get help on the one hand, but also how to bring help to others. But we all know that isn't straightforward, is it? There aren't simple answers to the problem of pain, the things, the big subjects we've been praying about already this morning. You know, in fact, Jesus at every turn kind of surprises and even confuses his followers with the answers and actions he brings. So if you ever get confused, I do, you're in good company. We've just kind of skipped over chapter 6, and some of chapter 6 is confusing. Jesus radically redefines, firstly, those who are called blessed in this world. He says, blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry, blessed are those who weep, blessed are those who are persecuted, and says, woe to the rich and the well-fed. And you can see the disciples going, really? That doesn't look like a blessed life. That seems like the opposite of what we expect. He then shockingly redefines love as not being just for those who you're friends with, but actually loving your enemies. And you know, sadly, we've actually seen the very opposite of that at Sussex University this week. You may have the horrible, aggressive protest and even death threats against the academic. Jesus says, that's not my kingdom. That's not the way of love. Jesus then redefines judgment as a need to look at yourself before others. So even before I look at those protesters, I need to look at myself. Again, it's challenging, surprising. Why are the disciples, why are we so often surprised by Jesus? Well, it's because of two key mistakes that we tend to make when facing challenges of this world. The first mistake we make is to underdiagnose the problem. We see things on the surface. We were looking at this a few weeks ago. We say, God, you know, if you just sort this situation, if you just sort this issue out, then life will be okay. It'll be great. Or even worse, we say, if you'll just sort them out, you know, they're the problem. And Jesus says, no. The problems of suffering and pain, they run far deeper than you and I realize. That's what we saw last week. You know, even the paralyzed man had a deeper problem. And, you know, many people ask, you know, why is the world so full of suffering and pain. And Jesus is trying to show his disciples that everything can be traced back to this thing that no one likes to talk about, but is ultimately unavoidable because it's in all of us. It's this thing called sin. This kind of rejection of God and going kind of our own do. Surely there's nothing that can be said to a grieving mother at a graveside. But this is where we see a very different kingdom suddenly breaking out, a kingdom where there is hope, even in the face of death. It's amazing. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. This extraordinary and amazing restoration that Jesus wants to bring to us. And the message is very simple. It's simply this: stay close to Jesus. That's my talk. Stay close to Jesus. It's the most important thing you can do in life. Why? Well, stay close to Jesus because he is for you. He is for you. Now, we're not told exactly what's happened to this young man, but we do know this is the most tragic of situations. Verse 12 tells us that he is the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. The whole town has come out, has been rocked by this tragedy. You know, this woman has already lost her husband, possibly other children too. This is someone who has experienced sorrow upon sorrow. And we're not told why. And that's one of the huge challenges with suffering, isn't it? So often we don't know why. There aren't easy answers. What we do know is that we live in a world where there is very real pain and suffering, and some people seem to suffer disproportionately to others, don't they? You know, one of the most common questions is, where on earth is God in all this? Where is God in suffering? Why doesn't God help us? You know, our hearts tell us instinctively that suffering and death isn't right, which if you think about it is slightly strange, because we've only ever known a world of suffering and death, haven't we? And yet there's something in us that just instinctively says, well, that's not right. That doesn't seem like a world. It's the clue that we all have that this world is not as it should be. You know, as we long for justice, as we long for change, it's actually showing a longing for a different kingdom. But we make a mistake when we think that God is in some way, you know, the cause of our pain or indifferent to it, because we see here once again the heart of Jesus. Jesus is moved in the depth of his being. Verse 13, it says, when the Lord saw her, when he sees this tragedy, his heart went out to her and he said, don't cry. Jesus sees this woman. He sees the suffering. He sees the tears. And his heart breaks for her. His immediate reaction is to draw near, because that's what God is like. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. There's no request. There's no plea for help from the woman or anyone. All there is tears. And tears are enough to move God. You know, Spurgeon described prayer, tears, as liquid prayer. I think that's so true. You know, there is no one expressing any faith at this moment. But God is moved. Jesus is moved. And he draws near. God is drawn to our tears. See, Jesus is revealing a God whose compassion is far greater than we imagine. You know, sometimes we think we care more than God. That is never true. And we are seeing in these encounters is a heart that is moved instinctively towards those in pain, towards those who are suffering. We are seeing a God who is for us. You know, a leper says, can you make me clean? Jesus says, yes, absolutely. A paralyzed man is brought to Jesus. Jesus doesn't actually even wait for the request. before he says, your sins are forgiven, get up and walk. And now he just sees a tragedy and he is drawn to it to bring comfort. And this isn't just Jesus' heart sometimes. This is always Jesus' heart. You know, we're told, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His compassion today, his sympathy for you and I is just as strong as it was then. He wants to comfort us. He is near. If right now you're kind of weeping, if you're struggling, the Lord is near, not even waiting for you to ask for help. Just like he sees this widow, he sees you. And by the way, that's our calling too. You know, not to wait to be asked for help. If you know someone is really suffering, don't wait. You know, don't wait to make a meal. If someone needs a meal, make the meal. I love how that happens in our church so much. You know, I've been really moved by those who make each week the meals for the homeless guys. But I know that happens across the church. People have babies, people are grieving, people are suffering, and the church family is making meals, providing help. It's a beautiful thing. Do you know, there are many people who need help at the moment. I was at Hove Polyclinic the other day, and I was chatting to one of the healthcare assistants, and she said, we've got so many staff off work. And I said, well, why? Is that because of COVID? She said, no, it's because of stress. You know, for many people, the last 18 months has been incredibly stressful. Even right now is perhaps for many the most stressful time. There is a grieving going on in many lives. And Jesus wants to draw near, as he does to this woman. He says, verse 13, don't cry. He wants to bring comfort. And yet, surely we're far beyond the time of comfort. Surely there's no hope here. Surely there are situations in our lives that are beyond hope. Then all that are left are tears. Can you imagine the disciples? They've just been told, blessed are those who weep. And they're thinking, that doesn't look right. This does not look blessed, these tears. You know, this crowd is walking to a grave. And in many ways, this is a picture of all our lives, isn't it? Walking away from God, walking to that inescapable reality of death. And we increasingly, as a society, we don't know how to face it. You know, the type of funeral that has grown most in recent days is known as the direct cremation. It's an unattended funeral. So we just don't know what to say. We don't know how to cope with death. And I can understand that because humans have no answer to this problem of death. And yet, as one commentator writes, Jesus halts the tragic procession to the grave. Amen? This is amazing. The second reason you should stay close to Jesus is he will help you. He is for you. He will help you. This would have been such a delicate situation. As these two crowds meet and all the excitement around Jesus, this healer, suddenly dies down into silence as they see this tragedy. They see the grief. And they see the kind of just the hopeless reality of death. And verse 14, Jesus goes up and he touches the coffin and it says they stood still. You can imagine the stillness that would have come, and everyone's assuming that at this point, today is going to be a day of grief. Because it's the crowd that's walking to the grave which is going to have the final say, because surely that's the right thing to do as we join in the grief. But then, Jesus speaks. And it's amazing. It is this voice that kind of scatters fear and it changes everything. Verse 14, he says, young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up and it's this beautiful thing. And he says, Jesus gave him back to his mother. Amazing. Comes a party. You know, weeping, genuine despair turns to laughter and joy. Amazing moment. You know, they're all praising God and they say, God has come to help his people. And you might look at that and say, well, that is great for this woman. I can see why she believed. But what about the funerals that haven't been interrupted? What about the real pain that I've experienced? What about us? You know, the reality is that this is only one of only three people who we read about Jesus raising from the dead. What about everyone else? Well, once again, Jesus is going to go further and deeper than we expect, because God's plan is far bigger than simply restoring someone's health or even their life for a few more years. His plan is to actually undo death itself, to turn death backwards, to create a brand new world and life, a world where there's no more pain, no more sin, no more suffering, and no more death. He comes not just as a teacher, not just as a kind of better doctor. He comes as the one with the answer to the problems of sin and sickness for us. I tell you, not just as a teacher, or even just as a healer, but as a savior who can speak life into us, who can forgive us, who can rescue us from sin and death. Do you want to be near this Jesus? This one who's for you? He can help you. I do. I don't know anyone like this Jesus. I don't know anyone else with the answer to these problems that we've been praying about and talking about. Perhaps you need to welcome Jesus for the first time. Perhaps today you need to be reminded that actually being close to Jesus is the most important thing for your life. Let's pray together. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are for us. Just allow the Lord to remind you of that amazing truth that his compassion never fails. He's the God who is near. Lord, I thank you that you have come to help us. Thank you that you died for us to take our sin, to pay our debt. Maybe you want to take a moment just to say thank you to Jesus. You can echo this prayer in your heart. Thank you, Lord, that you died for me. Thank you that you have taken me off the path of death and put me on the path of life. Come and speak your life into my life. Come and breathe your hope. Come and be Lord. Lead me forward. Come, Lord Jesus. Lord, for any here this morning who praying that for the first time, but Lord, particularly those who have felt, Lord, at a distance from you, Lord, I pray, Lord, would you draw near, draw us back. They know that you are for them, and that you are there to help them. And Lord, would we all know that? Lord, help us as we continue to worship God together.